Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The 2020 Governor's Giant Vision winners were announced in April. The coronavirus pandemic forced the cancellation of the event as originally planned, but a little online technology helped everyone participate remotely. Now, this is the 16th year of the Entrepreneurial Business Competition hosted by the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. So we're joined this morning by David Owen, president of the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce. Welcome back to In the Moment, David.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
And it's our pleasure to have Craig Bailey, president of Novum Nano, with us as well. Novum Nano is this year's winner of a $20,000 first place prize in the business competition. Craig, welcome as well. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Lori. Good morning to you and to David. It's great and exciting to be here.
David, I want to start with you and tell us a little bit about this competition, who it attracts to apply, and just the broadness of it in general, please.
We started with this 16 years ago as a way to encourage entrepreneurship in South Dakota. We kind of looked around for a role to play in economic development, and at that time, the whole idea that you would encourage people to go into business for themselves was just really becoming something we were focusing on in a formal sense. So we're looking for businesses that are in their first 3 years of operation or are just business ideas. In the business competition particularly, we have a panel of judges that will look at financial projections, look at management teams. If they make the finals, they have 10 minutes interaction with some pretty high-level business people. And I think one of the successes here is not only have we, in partnership with the governor's office, been able to provide prize money, but even people that don't win really learn from the interaction they have with the judges. And when we do this face-to-face, that's a day-long experience.
What do you hope, and now 16 years of this competition, what have you seen with what happens afterwards? Because it's great to get the acknowledgement and the prize, but really, that's just the beginning. That's the starting line in many ways.
You know, it's been kind of fun to travel through time with some of these people, because a lot of them are very successful business people doing something that has nothing to do with what they brought to Giant Vision. In fact, we always try to get a past participant to come speak at the noon event. In 1 year, we had a young man bring two of the plaques we gave him. He had won nothing, no money. Said he tried to sell the plaques on eBay, couldn't get anybody to even buy those. But you have people that have caught the entrepreneurial spirit, have changed their management team, have changed their focus, and still driving and finding success.
Craig, tell us about your business.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So Novum Nano started in February of 2019. We are an advanced materials and process technology and manufacturing startup. We specialize in using various nanomaterials, boron nitride nanosheets and carbon nanotubes, because we've found through a lot of research at the School of Mines, where we are located in the Ascent Innovations Incubator, that these materials put into greases and oils can move thermal and electrical energy faster than anything else. And one of the byproducts of what we found was that the combination of these two nanomaterials put into synthetic oils creates a super slippery oil additive that will increase torque, increase horsepower, increase fuel economy. We believe also life expectancy, and it does all of this by significantly reducing friction in any of those moving surfaces. So our job is to commercialize these patents that we co-patent with the School of Mines. We co-develop patent, and then we license that back. So our IP strategy is that we're under the state of South Dakota. It's not just our pockets that are defending these patents. Pretty exciting. I work with some real geniuses, a couple I'd mentioned, Dr. Haiping Hong and Dr. Greg Christensen. I'm really just the business guy, kind of the crusty old guy that builds the team and finds a way to develop those market relationships, hopefully to create workforce and economic development.
Yeah. Greg, is this new technology, new application?
It is really both. Nano, really, the word nano has only been around 30 years. So it's probably one of the fastest growing new technologies. We have three nano companies in that Ascent Innovations incubator on campus. We're all very different. Ours is probably the closest to touching just everyday people. We do have some pretty exotic technologies that will take a lot more time. We're funded by four different government contracts, around $500,000. So it's everything about it is new. I like to joke around that I work with a bunch of 22-year-olds that look like they're 12, and it's my fountain of youth. And all our main job is to learn, continuous learning every day, proving that this works, finding the applications, learning the market, and learning how to keep students from leaving the state of South Dakota, because we've got such a great talent pool. It's very exciting. So it's all about learning, continuously learning and finding these applications. And that's kind of what it's all about. It's all new.
Yeah. And I think for many people listening, you can kind of get your mind around, marketability and what a product might look like, where you might find it in a, an auto parts store or a gas station, hardware store where people will actually buy without even thinking about the technology of it, just knowing that it does something. But take us inside the lab. Tell me a little bit for those of us who've never, what are those daily interactions like? What is the technology in the lab that where those discoveries can happen? What can you tell us about that physical space and those physical interactions?
Sure. Well, we work very closely with the School of Mines. We actually share a nano processing lab in our footprint in that incubator. We have a couple of things going on there. One is a kind of a walk-up hood where we process these nanomaterials. It's called sonification. The best example I could use for analogy would be you're baking a cake. You've got to get the flour mixed up in that batter really well. Otherwise, you're going to have big clumps of flour in your cake, which isn't real good. Mixing these nanomaterials, which like to stick together, they're very light and obviously very small at the nanoscale, they need to be mixed up. And we do that with a high-frequency sonifier that mixes this continuously into the medium. In this case, it would be a synthetic motor oil. Could be other things, greases, hydraulic fluids, et cetera. And over time, that will mix that up. Now, we have a $450,000 funded grant from the Air Force to make this material and test it, prove it in aerospace ground equipment. And that is funding a booth that we're building right now, right next to that stand-up hood, where we will be able to process significantly larger volumes for advanced research and testing, but also to commercialize right out of that building. And when you think about a 4-ounce bottle, which would be the typical additive into your car or pickup truck, if we can produce, 100 gallons a week out of that, that's really a significant turn into the revenueing, along with supporting the continued research. So we have three full-time employees, all of us PhDs in some way. Then we have a number of student interns that are working on PhDs in nano, some masters in electrical engineering, kind of a variety of the cream of the crop, which is so exciting to be part of. Obviously, we're a little bit slowed down with the pandemic. Several of us are still there every day. The School of Mines will be starting up here sometime by fall. So it's a lot of testing, mixing materials, proving that they work, doing friction testing, and soon to be bottling for commercial purposes. So you can see this Novum oil, and the other one for commercial purposes will be called Snake Oil, kind of a play on words. It was a code name that I used over a couple of years while we developed this specific product and application. Now, everybody that has heard about it thinks, well, that's a great name. We've come up with a logo. When you walk into an AutoZone or another auto parts store and they have this whole row of different additives for oils, fuels, coolants, that snake will really jump out, and you'll remember that image. So that's our commercial application of what's coming out of this lab right now.
That's awesome. I want to invite our student competition winner of this year's Giant Vision Awards into the conversation. Anita Hagizada is a PhD student at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology in Rapid City. Her company is called Nano H Sync. Anita, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to share my business story with you guys.
I think it might also be graduation day for you, or some kind of significant part of your education. Tell us a little bit about what's happening in your life right now. It seems to be a whirlwind, and as Craig mentioned, you know, lots of things are changing because of the pandemic and figuring out what's next. But what does graduation look like for a PhD student at Mines?
So I've been doing my PhD for about 6 years and a half now, and I was telling my advisor a couple of weeks ago that, you know, after a couple of years, you start to picture your graduation day and your defense day. And I imagined so many things, but I didn't imagine it to be online and during this, you know, difficult time. So it's been unique, but I'm glad to be, you know, done with my education and, you know, graduate with good grades and stuff. And so it's been actually kind of, you know, challenging doing everything during the COVID-19, but I'm really glad that Giant Vision didn't get canceled, because it's something that we students like really look forward to participating business, you know, aspect of science, because, you know, during the PhD, you just work sometimes by your own, or sometimes like you are in a part of a bigger group, but you're basically spend your day in the lab, and it's really good to have the opportunity to get out and see how you actually can use the science project that you've been working on for a few years in a business idea, and see how you can take it, you know, move it forward and do something bigger with it.
Yeah. Tell us about Nano H-Sync. How do you explain this to people who are listening who are not necessarily scientists, but also include people who understand why this is a big deal?
Yeah. So Nano Sync, as I call it, is it's a shorter version of Nano Heat Sync. So we know all electronics have, you know, heat sinks behind their chip, because they have to dissipate the heat that the chip produces. And the heat sink is a really big deal for all electronics, but my business idea, the nano heat sink, is focusing on LEDs, because the lighting of the future, everybody knows that, you know, every year more and more people are buying LEDs and starting to, you know, understand how efficient they are and how they can save energy and money for people, and, you know, help the planet to be a cleaner and, you know, be environment friendly. So the heat sink is just, it has the same idea behind it, that nanostructures have a larger surface area, so they can really help with the efficiency of the heat sink, and they can decrease the price of LEDs, because LEDs usually have a really complicated heatsink material, and they use a lot of aluminum or ceramic. So if we have more efficient heatsink, we can decrease the price by, you know, decreasing the manufacturing cost and the amount of material which is used in the heatsink. So the same idea that if you want to, you know, give food to a kid, you will cut it into pieces, small pieces, so it gets colder faster. So we use the same idea. We make nanostructures on a heat sink to increase the surface area and make it cooler faster. So that's the idea behind NanoSync.
David Owen, I just love some of these analogies, like, cutting a kid's food up to make it helps all of us. We're like, no, I didn't understand how heat sink works until she started talking, and now I understand a fraction. But David, what stands out about these two winners, part of it is, I think, the way they're able to communicate their ideas and then just the revolutionary nature or the breakthrough nature of what they're doing. But to you, David Owen, and to people of South Dakota from an economic development standpoint, what stands out about these two to you?
Well, first of all, let me do a confession. I listen to some of these presentations even when I'm in the room and they get done, and I'm just, all I can do is stand in the back of the room and blink my eyes. I've got a basic grasp of what they're trying to do. But yeah, the competition, and you hit the nail on the head. They not only have to know what their product is about, but they have to start translating this to a market, to financial statements. Part of the test, part of the goal of Giant Vision as it's evolved, is we're looking for people to create a South Dakota business, to employ South Dakota citizens, to do the manufacturing and preparation here, if at all possible. And let me take a quick side road. One of the things that we've seen with the winners of late is a lot of emphasis on technology, computers, nano this and that, which get explained fairly well. But the competition is really designed to emphasize entrepreneurship. And I want to just one line about the third place winner in the student competition was a Florence High School student that watched her grandmother struggle to lift potting soil and use it. So she went to work and designed a different mix of nutritious soil for seeds that weighs less. There's an idea that I can literally get my arms around.
Yeah. Anahita, tell me what's next for you. You have this award. You're working on this. You know, do I get to call you doctor now, or is it too soon?
Yes.
Today. All right. Congratulations. What are you looking to do next? Is South Dakota your home now?
Well, it's been my home since I moved to United States. I came here 2014 for my PhD, and I started a master along the way. So it's been actually my second home, and now it's, you know, I feel like Rapid City is like my home, and people at School of Mines are like my second family. And my dream is to actually find the right team and move forward, because there was another business competition at School of Mines called CEO Competition that I won the first place in December, last December. So I have a little bit of saving, and I hope that I can find, you know, right people and right team in them in Rapid City or any city in South Dakota and start my business. And, you know, it's just a pleasure to, it would be awesome if we can start these companies here so we can offer like technical jobs for South Dakota people, because I feel like it's something that is needed. Since I got closer to my graduation, I started looking for jobs, and I really wanted, you know, want to find something here, but it's kind of difficult to find a technical job. So I think that's something that community can really use, and that's my dream to, you know, take a few steps.
Yeah. Well,
to make that possible.
Dr. Hagizada, thank you so much for being here. Congratulations on the award and your graduation, and we hope to talk to you many times in the future as a South Dakota entrepreneur and research scientist. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And Craig Bailey, thank you. I should say Dr. Bailey, right?
We're
acknowledging education today. So Dr. Bailey, thanks for being here, and congratulations as well. We hope to talk to you again.
Hey, thank you very much. And one last shout out, Anahita, if there's a way I could help collaborate and connect her with a path forward to stay in South Dakota, she should stop by the incubator and talk to me. I would love to try to help her and her company.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. That would be awesome.
I feel like if David Owen, if we just had the two of them talking about this science, we could just sit back and enjoy that conversation and drink some tea and enjoy. But I want to keep David Owen. So thanks to Craig and Anahita. I want to keep David Owen with us here on the line for a few more minutes and just turn our attention to South Dakota businesses and how business leaders and consumers are maneuvering through the pandemic. So, David, thanks for sticking around for that part of it as well.
Absolutely.
Hey, let's talk about
A final comment. I want to acknowledge a staff person of mine, Marianne Boyd, working with some of the people, found a way to. We literally did this competition, Giant Vision, over Zoom as a way of not having to cancel it. And it was brilliant and well done. All the judges participated, but that was salvaging something very significant. And I just wanted to. Salute her. Anyway.
Yeah. And that's, it's important to talk about. So many things are happening in the world of research and with the coronavirus, the novel coronavirus, that a lot of things can get set along the sidelines. And that has devastating consequences as well, if we, and some of which we won't realize for years to come. So these other things need to move forward, even if we have to work on Zoom to make them happen. I want to talk about Governor Noem's Back to Normal plan and just what we're seeing across the state as individual business owners, and much of the responsibility of this and the creativity of this comes down to individual business owners, because that's sort of been South Dakota's leadership take from the beginning. That continues. That's not a new change. Tell me a little bit about that plan, not a one-size-fits-all plan. How do you see business leaders navigating the days ahead?
You know, one of the privileges of being with the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry is that this group has the most diverse collection of businesses as members and as on our board of directors. So I've been in being able to watch closely and have communication with the heads of the hospital systems or the health care systems. About half our board is manufacturers. We are the Policy Manufacturing Association for the state. And then we've got all kinds of other businesses. So I've seen the challenges that healthcare people have had getting ready for this. I'm in touch with the fact that a lot of manufacturers have stayed open but had to dramatically change their operations. And then, of course, we've been firsthand witnesses to what this has done to the food industry, bars, movie theaters, and those types of things. I give Governor Noem credit. She avoided having to do something that's almost impossible to do. And that's to go all the way through the economy and declare what's essential and what's not. She guided us to an emergency, pointed out the severity of it. We canceled events. We canceled school, restaurants, delivery only. And so she has watched South Dakotans doing what everybody else in the country is doing. And now she has said, let's be thoughtful. Let's keep an eye on the fact that this virus has not gone away, but let's see if we can ease it back into a broader sense of economic activity. And I will tell you, my board and the members I've talked to appreciate that very much.
We have had the Federal Payroll Protection Plan, which was imperfect, and funds were resumed on April 27th, but then the funds run dry quickly. We've had the South Dakota Small Business Relief Fund, and we've had unemployment insurance and the federal boost to that, the weekly payout on unemployment insurance. Still, we've had a huge increase in unemployment in spite of all those things kind of coming together. Tell me a little bit about the intersection of the different kinds of relief efforts, federal, state, local businesses trying to do what they do. What do you see has worked particularly well, and what do you wish could have been more effective, or what fell short?
I wish I was as smart as you're making me out to maybe be, but here's the most muddled answer I can give you from my corner stool, wearing the kind of a shorter version of a dunce cap. It seems to me that what we hear in the news, and I've talked to, the better you knew your business so you could fill out that application, the better off you were. I've had members that were ready to go, got their application in, and got a fairly quick response. And when I think about what it takes to do something that massive, I think you got to kind of appreciate the fact that they got it done for the most part. Banking relationships have proven to be important because they're using banks. And so some of the smallest businesses without those relationships have been stymied, and we'll have to figure out in the future how to do that. I am part of the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Group, and I will tell you the extra money the Fed is doing, the things that they've done that they're paying for are unprecedented but necessary. People being able to file that own businesses, that's something that has plagued me for a long time. You try to be a business and you fail, and a lot of them do. We don't have a safety net for that, but we do for this crisis. Adding some extra pay, you know, our normal claims are about 190 a week, and you know what, the last 3 weeks we've been, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. So it's just this tsunami that on one hand scares you to death, but on the other hand, I've got to give credit to the folks working on it. They seem to be eating this elephant one bite at a time. Unfortunately, to do that, the elephant has to be dead.
Well, there are no PhDs left in the room now, David, but between you and I, hopefully.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
We just have like a minute left, and I just want to end it on a note of hope for business owners who are still looking around and going, holy cow, what happens next? Am I going to be here a year from now? What's your best advice in 30 seconds of what to do right now and in the coming weeks?
Hopefully we get back to business. I think for just credibility and solid economics, businesses are going to have to demonstrate to the public that you are safe in this business. The social distance, the masks, these are all things that are visible signs that we are being cautious, and our best way to get to the end of this particular experience is to do those things until there's a virus or an inoculation, and that's going to be a while.
Yeah. Know your business, know your relationships with your bankers and your accountants and your customers. So much of that is on highlight now. David Owen, president of the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce, we appreciate your time, and we'll see you next time. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.